to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's as far as we'll read. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word, as it is precious to us. You have not left us alone by ourselves in this world, but you have given us your very word. We pray, Lord, that you would somehow, through your holy word, use a sinful vessel to preach it to your holy people, that your spirit might give us insight and understanding to apply your word to our hearts and to our lives. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you fear? What do you fear? People fear a lot of different things. There's a lot of phobias out there, if you're not familiar. Let me run through a few phobias that are out there. Kind of diseases, almost, if you will. The top 10 phobias. Acrophobia. I don't know if you've ever heard of acrophobia. Fear of heights. Many people have this. Aerophobia. Fear of flying. Arachnophobia. You know this one. So spiders, right? Ophidiophobia. Does that sound familiar? Fear of snakes. There's quite a few out there. Cynophobia. Fear of dogs. Trypanophobia. Fear of injections. Astrophobia. Fear of thunder and lightning. Agoraphobia. Fear of being alone, being in open spaces. It's kind of a unique phobia, if you will. Mysophobia, fear of germs. The last one, thanatophobia, fear of death. Maybe that's where they got Thanos from. Clicking his fingers. What do you fear? When you put your head on your pillow at night, what does your mind drift off to? Fear is common. It can keep you safe. It's that flight or fight mentality when you have this fear. As we start Proverbs, it makes me think of Solomon and his dad, David. David wrote most of the Psalms. He had many troubles. He went through many wars. He had many trials and difficulties in his life. As a young boy, he was fighting bears and lions. And then even as a young man, he fought Goliath. And then he writes the Psalms as he is in the midst of wars and trials and difficulties. He writes these songs, a book of devotion to God for the afflicted. As he dealt with many wars, we see Solomon, his son, kind of the opposite side of that coin. He lived at peace. He asked God, God asked him, ask anything of me and I'll give it to you. And what did Solomon say? I wish for wisdom to govern your people well. And Solomon, as he received wisdom, wasn't selfish with his wisdom and keeping it to himself. He shared it. He shared his wisdom. And he pens these Proverbs, if you will, and we see Ecclesiastes and Solomon too. He was living at peace, but he writes this book of instruction to edify God's people and give them wisdom to live their lives in this crazy world of sin and difficulties. Instruction to edify. That's really what a proverb is. It's this divine wisdom taught through proverbs, these short, kind of pithy sayings of general truth or advice to help. We have divine laws, we have divine histories, and now here we see divine proverbs. Made me think of all the worldly proverbs that are out there. I don't know if I should read too many of them, but I looked some up and I thought it would be fun to share a few of worldly proverbs just to get our mind thinking about these pithy, wise sayings. Bear with me. A bad workman always blames his tools. Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Cat has nine lives. Action speak louder than words. A diamond with a flaw is better than a common stone that is perfect. A drowning man will clutch a straw. A fool and his money are soon parted. And that's actually a divine proverb, I think. After victory, tighten your helmet cord. Things to think about here. A good listener is a silent flatterer. A goose quill is more dangerous than a lion's claw. A happy heart is better than a full purse. Okay. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. A lean agreement is better than a fat lawsuit. Leopard doesn't change his spots. All is fair in love and war. All lay loads on a willing horse. All that glitters is not gold. Among the blind, a one-eyed man is king. Interesting. An army of a sheep led by a lion would defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. An empty vessel makes much noise. Interesting proverbs. There's many of them out there. Divine proverbs are for God's people to help us navigate uncharted challenges that this life will bring us. It's kind of like going through a dense forest by yourself. Blinded, almost not knowing which direction is which, trying to navigate it and figure it out, lost. And then someone gives you a compass or a GPS. That is the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of God that comes to his people through his word. Ultimately, Jesus himself, the wisdom of God, comes to his people to help them navigate and figure out what this whole world's about. Why am I here? What's going on? What's my purpose and meaning in life? How are you going to navigate this dense forest of sin and tragedies and difficulties that this life brings? God gives us wisdom through his word. Proverbs for attaining understanding is the theme of our text this morning. We're going to look at two aspects of that theme. First, it's wise discipline. And secondly, it's foolish disdain. First of all, it's wise discipline. Who is wisdom for? Who is wisdom for? Well, we see it in our verses. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Okay, that's the simple and the youth need wisdom. This is true, don't they? We all do. And then verse 5 even says, he goes on to say, let the wise hear and increase in learning, the one who understands and obtain guidance. The simple, the young, but also the wise and discerning need wisdom. That's who it's for. It's for all of us. Those who don't have it and those who do need more of it. When you listen and practice these proverbs, these wise sayings, it makes wise the simple and the young, and it makes the wise even wiser. Why proverbs? Why does Solomon write these proverbs? Well, you see in verses 2 and 3, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, in justice, and in fairness and equity. That's why you need this to navigate this uncertain world, these uncharted life that you are living. You've never been this age before in your life. This is the first time you've been this age. And you're navigating through the challenges of your life, even now, at this age and this time in your life. It changes. When you're young, it has its own challenges. And when you're old, it has new and improved challenges. God ultimately looks at our heart. He knows what you fear. He calls you to fear Yahweh, fear the Lord. This is how you view the whole world around you. Everything is filtered through these glasses of the fear of the Lord. As you see, it's not rose-colored glasses, but it's the fear of the Lord glasses. When you see the world as God sees it, when you see yourself as God sees you, when you see others as God sees them and loves them, and you see the world around you the way He created it and the way He made it. What is this fear? This fear is a unique thing. It has positive and negative elements to it, this fear of the Lord. The negative aspect of it is that I'm going to get hurt. I think of when I, is it confession time? I think of when I've been going faster than I should in my car and I see a policeman's siren and lights behind me. There is a fear that I did something wrong and I'm going to get punished. I have this sinking feeling in my gut when that happens. Hasn't happened recently, praise the Lord, but it has happened. Or when I see my dad take his belt off, I know there's a fear in me that I know something's going to happen. And it's not going to be good for me. There's a negative fear that I'm going to get hurt here. I'm going to get punished. I fear God. He created the whole world. He created you. We should fear Him because He's worthy to be worshipped, to be feared. But there's a positive aspect to fear too. If you were a curator for a museum and had great appreciation for works of art, and I were to ask you to stick out your hands, and I put in your hands a priceless Ming vase, and you knew everything about that vase, that vase, and how precious it was, how valuable it was, and I put that in your hands, you would sit there and you would be shaking almost in fear, because you would know how precious that is. You wouldn't be fearing that the vase was going to hurt you. But you would be fearing that you would somehow hurt this precious vase. And in our relationship with the Lord, there is a fear that we would hurt Him. Because He is so valuable and precious to us. Through His work on the cross, what He did to save you and save me is so precious. There is a fear that we might hurt Him in our sin and sacrifice Him again. In the writing of scriptures in Hebrew, there was such a fear of Yahweh, Jehovah. They wouldn't write vowels for that word, Yahweh. I always looked at it and was like, okay, without vowels, how do you pronounce it? Yahweh. You know, I really never, studying Hebrew was always difficult for me. But when you look at a page with, when you see Yahweh in there, it sticks out. Because it's the only word that doesn't have any vowels in it. They were scared. They were fearful that they might somehow take the Lord's name in vain. So they wouldn't write vowels around it. Fear. Ultimately, all knowledge and wisdom begins with God. Only He can bestow it on you and me. The ancients would often say, know thyself. But true wisdom comes from knowing God, fearing God. When you know God and you fear Him, you understand yourself in a whole new light. You understand your sin, how great your sin is, how that weight will just buckle your knees. And you see how great His grace is in Christ. It's wise discipline. Secondly, is its foolish disdain. The fool is blind to wisdom. He is blind to discipline, and he has no fear of God. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. Their foolish heart lives only for themselves. A life lived only for yourself is a terrible thing. For some reason, it made me think of some biblical examples, and all of them were quite negative, obviously. Thinking of Achan in the Old Testament as he pilfered all the good stuff and hid it under his tent, and he and his family died because of God's judgment on them, as many died in the next battle. They weren't supposed to take the goods, and he stole from God ultimately. Makes me think of Judas living for himself. Just for a few coins of silver, he would betray our Lord. Ananias and Sapphira. Did you sell that house for that much? Oh, yeah. God's judgment came quick for both of them. Living for yourself is what the fool does. Humility, acknowledgement of sin, discipline, putting others first, loving God loving your neighbor are foreign to the fool. A fool fears man. He thinks that what he is going to do is going to somehow impress others. Look what I'm wearing. Look what I'm driving. Look at this. Look at that. Aren't I special? That we're somehow trying to impress others. The fool fears man. Cares too much about what others think instead of about what the Lord thinks. Only the wise fear God. It makes me think of Matthew. Let me see if I can find it here. I know I marked it here. Matthew 10:28, where these words are penned. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And also, Solomon's father, David, as he writes in Psalm 56:11, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Wisdom. God chooses to turn the foolish. I don't know how God does this, actually. It's really pretty incredible how God works in the hearts and lives of each of us. God chooses somehow to turn the foolish into wise people through these proverbs. But he also chooses to turn sinners into saints through the gospel. God works in mysterious ways in your heart and in mine to show us who he is and who we are, and hopefully bring us to salvation through his Son. Another portion I wanted to read to you is found in 1 Corinthians. Just a few years ago, one of the interns went through 1 Corinthians and spoke on these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 20. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Christ crucified, the power of God to save you from hell itself. It's almost as if you were dangling between here and hell itself. And Christ intervened, snatched you up out of the mouth of hell itself. The power of God, Christ crucified. The wisdom of God, that God would intervene in history and be born in a manger, to live a perfect life and die on a cross is wisdom for God. But it's foolishness to those who are perishing. It doesn't make sense how God saves, but truly Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we understand the wisdom of God, we see His salvation and His grace and mercy on our hearts, on our lives. May God help you embrace this power and this wisdom of God found in Christ crucified, to turn away from your foolish and sinful lives, because His grace is sufficient for you and His power is made perfect in weakness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the wisdom that You give us through Christ crucified. Help us to understand Your love, even though we are sinful and we ourselves crucified Your Son. You still love us. Your finished work on the cross is all that we need to give us confidence to move forward, to navigate this world through Your wisdom in Christ. Continue to help us with Your Spirit to give us that help we need day to day, that comforter, that paraclete, to guide us and direct us, to glorify You with the lives that You've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we turn in our hymnals to